How you guys doing? Good. You guys remember what I talked about last time? No. No. Anybody? How I did drugs? You climbed on top of First Baptist. I'm glad that's what you guys remember. That's okay. What? That's awesome. Amen. Hey, so I got a giveaway for you guys. How many of you guys heard of Hillsong United? Awesome. A couple of you guys. I'm going to give this away to the person who not only... Yeah, our series is Ecclesia, right? But I want to know who knows what Ecclesia means.
Church.
Church, but remember what...
That's good. Hey, I'm going to give it to you. What's your name? Andrew? I'm Jordan. Hey, so... here you go. Awesome. Hillsong United. So, who remembers what the church, the ecclesia is? We're separate, yeah. Remember, like, the way Rob described it, we're called out. Remember? So, we're called out. The church is the called out ones. It's like the Father is, like, as if I'm the Father calling Andrew out, you know? So, you're like, living over here, and I'm calling you over here. Right? So you remember how I humiliated Brent? Where's Brent at? Brent, yeah. I hope I didn't humiliate you. You enjoyed helping me out, right? Awesome. So I'm not going to humiliate you. Thank you, Andrew. Everybody give a high clap to... I about said high five, but a clap to Andrew. Awesome. Well, if you guys have your Bibles... It looks like nobody has their Bible. That's so funny. Oh, if you have your Bible app, you can open it up to 1 John chapter 1. And I'm going to briefly just talk with you guys about fellowship. Can you guys say fellowship? Let's say it as loud as we can on the count of three. Ready? One, two,
three.
All right, you guys awake? Awesome. So if you get your Bibles out, you can turn to 1 John chapter 1. Not John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1. Okay, so... As the church, we are called out, right? Just as I pulled Andrew up here, the Father calls us out. But one thing I've realized in my Christianity, in my walk with the Lord, is a lot of times we can understand that we've been saved from something, but we don't understand what we've been saved for. Does that make sense? You're saved for, what does Jesus save you from? What else?
Hell.
Hell? Death? What else? That's perfect. Yep. So God's wrath, we're saved from sin, we're saved from hell, saved from Satan, right? Wrath. Okay, good. But what are we saved for? Because here, what?
Jesus.
Nailed it. What's your name? Ethan. We can close. Let's pray. You guys can get it. No, just kidding. So, a lot of times we understand what we're saved from, but the reason there are so many Christians that are discontent, and surprise, surprise, there's a lot of Christians that are not content. They feel like there's something more. Have you guys who have trusted in Christ already experienced that, where you're like walking with the Lord, but you're like, is there more to this? Any of you guys ever experienced that? I have, for sure. And in 1 John chapter 1, we're going to understand that God has called us for something, not just out of something. Okay? So let's go ahead and turn to 1 John. And, Chapter 1, verse 1. This is a letter that John, one of Jesus' disciples, is writing to some believers and some people who they want to believe, but they're struggling. And he he's compelled to write this, and we're going to understand why he's compelled to write this. So let's jump in. At First John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our very eyes, which we've looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning what? The word of life." And then he kind of goes on a tangent. He's like, "The life was made manifest, and we've seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you," what? "The eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us." And then he goes back into what he's saying. "That which we've seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us." And here's what he says. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And we'll jump into, I'll just read it real quick. "This is the message we've heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So let's pray real quick. Father, I thank you that we get to come before your throne by the blood of Jesus. And I pray, God, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God to be poured out on every single one of us tonight. Lord, I thank you that you are here among us. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would give me clarity to preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus in a way that everybody can understand it, in a way that they don't just have information transfer, but their life is transformed, Father. I pray in Jesus' name for transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Okay, so what is he saying? He says in verse 3, let's go back to verse 3 if you can. 1 John chapter 1. "That which we've seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So the question is, what has he seen and heard? What was with the Father and was made manifest? What does it say? The eternal life. Well, the question we have to wrestle with is, what is eternal life? And here's the cool news is, in the letter itself, there's a cheat sheet. So if you go to, you don't have to go there, but in the very last verse, he actually gives you the answer to what eternal life is. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, at the very end, he says, "And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ, he is the true God, and look, and eternal life. So who is eternal life? Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to 1 John chapter 1 and go back to verse 3. "That which we've seen and heard, which was with the Father but was made manifest," who is it? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Everybody say Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So John, can you imagine this? Like, Jesus, did he come into existence when Mary gave birth to him? Or did he have existence way, way back when with the Father? Way back when. So Jesus was eternally in existence with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, having fellowship with the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Remember the song, "I believe in God our Father," right? Christ the Son, the Holy Spirit. Then, so he's eternally with the Father, but John is saying, but that which was eternal with the Father, the eternal life, what has he done? He's manifested himself, right? And we've actually seen him. We saw Jesus. That's what he's saying. He's like, I didn't just get a theory. I didn't just get a concept. I actually experienced Jesus. I handled him. He hung out with me. He actually called me out to be his disciples, and we walked with him for 3 years. And so he's saying, I've seen Jesus, and what I've seen, what I've heard concerning Jesus Christ, I'm declaring him to you. So that what? What did he say? So that you may have eternal, right? So that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and Son. So, big idea, guys. John is preaching Jesus Christ so that they might have fellowship. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have fellowship with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, and with the church. And so if you can put up the big idea, the basis of the fellowship, the big idea, if you guys have it. That's all right. So the big idea, guys, is the person and work of Jesus Christ. Imagine a door. Like, imagine there's a door right here. I wish I would have brought it. I talked to Rob about this, but imagine there's a door right here. Jesus Christ is the door into fellowship with God and with the church. What blows me away is this, is that God didn't just save you from sin. He didn't just save you from wrath. He didn't just save you from Satan. He saved you to bring you into fellowship with himself. And for a lot of my Christianity, I understood that, but I didn't quite understand it. And therefore, I got to a place in my walk with God where I was learning a lot about Jesus. I was learning a lot about God, but I wasn't experiencing God the way John describes him. Because he's calling them into an experience, a fellowship with God. And what's amazing is it's by the blood of Jesus that we have access to the Father. What should blow your mind is a lot of us, we feel like we think it's just God owes us to have a relationship with us. But when for a long time in my Christianity, I didn't study the Old Testament except for Psalms and Proverbs. My wife loves the Old Testament, and she's always nagging on me like, read the Old Testament, it's awesome. And I'm like, I have Jesus, why do I need the Old Testament? But have you guys ever like walked into the end of a movie, the tail end of a movie, and everybody's like on the edge of their seat watching what's about to happen? But you're kind of walking into it like, what's going on? And it's the climax of the movie, and then say it's a court case. They win the court case, and everybody's, yeah! And, you know, your family's like, yes! But you're kind of like, what's just happened? That's like it is. That's how it is in the New Testament. When Jesus comes on the scene, the story of how God is drawing near to us has been happening for thousands of years. And when Jesus comes on the scene, this is like the coming up to the climax of the movie. And so I just want to quickly go back through the Old Testament to show you that our mind should be blown that we even get to have fellowship with God, that we even get to have a relationship with him. So if you can go to Genesis chapter 3. And I gave you guys some verses. I don't know if you got them or not. Do what? You do? Awesome. All right, so Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden with God, before they sinned, they had God's presence with them. God actually was with them. Can you imagine that? Like actually having God with you. It'd be pretty awesome, right? Pretty legit. So Adam and Eve had God in the garden with them, the very presence of God in the garden. But look what happened. They sinned, right? And what does sin do? Exactly, it separates. Sin separates us from God. And so in verse 8, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife, what did they do? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid myself. And then later on in Genesis chapter 3, the Lord banishes them from the garden. It says in verse 22, it says, then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden. What did he do? He cast him out of the presence of God, out of Eden, to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So Adam and Eve were in the garden in fellowship with God. There was no sin, but then sin happened, and sin separates. Sin separates. So now, because of their sin, God has to banish them from his presence. But the good news, guys, is that's not the end of the story. right there in the garden, God makes some promises. And then he begins to create a... Are you guys awake? I know you guys have been in school all day, so I hope you're ready for this. But he creates a system by which man can approach him. And the weird thing is, it's based on blood. Blood. So if you can go to Hebrews chapter 9, I want to show you this. Look on the screen if you don't have a Bible. Can somebody read this for me?
Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins.
Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And look at this. Without the shedding of blood, there is how much forgiveness? No forgiveness. No forgiveness. Why? Why blood? So that's what I want to hit at real quick. In the Old Testament, you can go to Leviticus chapter 1. I want to show you how this works. So, Leviticus chapter 1. The Lord called Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring from your offering of livestock, from the herd or from the flock. If his offspring is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer a male without blemish. Look at what he does. He shall bring this herd, this bull, right? Imagine he's bringing this animal to the entrance of this tent of meeting that he may be accepted before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted to him to make atonement. Everybody say atonement. Atonement for him. Then he shall kill the bull. Oop. I'll go there. Thank you. Then he shall kill the bull before the Lord. That sounds really harsh. That sounds mean. Why would you kill an innocent animal? Then he shall kill the bull before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and throw the blood against the sides of the altar that is at the entrance of the tent of meeting. You can stop there. So what you got is you got, okay, so I'm going to use you again, Andrew, right? So are you okay if I use you to help me out? Yeah? Okay, cool. So Andrew, you've sinned against the Lord, right? You lied to your parents. They asked you if you did your homework, and you said yes, but you didn't. You ended up playing football with your friends down the street. Okay, so you sinned. You lied against the Lord. Okay? Aaron lied against the Lord. So what you have to do now is you got to bring a bull. Okay? So bring your bull. Okay? And here's the tent of meeting right here. Right? Okay. Now, here comes a priest. I'm going to hand you a knife. Here's a knife. Put your hands on that bull. On the head of the bull, take the knife and go ahead and cut the throat of the bull. I'm going to take a bull, like imagine a giant bull, because it's got to hold all the blood of a bull. That's crazy. So I'm holding the bull, and all that blood is going into the bull. Now, what I do as a priest is I walk this blood over to this altar, and I wish I had a picture of the altar, but and you can go ahead and sit down now. Everybody, give him a clap. Thanks, Andrew. So I take this blood and I go to this altar, right? And then I take this blood and I throw it on the altar. Isn't that weird? And the Bible says that that's how we make atonement with God. Do you guys know what atonement means? Atonement? It means, think of this, at one ment. Can you guys go at one ment? So sin, what does sin do? Separates. But blood makes atonement. Blood makes at-one-ment. Every time you guys are theologians now. What is atonement? At-one-ment. If you guys can remember that, if that's all you remember, praise Jesus. At the blood of Jesus, well, I'm skipping ahead. So we're getting this story. God's setting up the system so that the presence of Yahweh is separated from human beings because of their sin, right? And what's the system by which God can draw near to human beings? Blood. Atonement, right? At one ment. The reason for it, and I'll go to Leviticus 17:11 real quick. And that's not up there, so you guys don't have to worry about that. Leviticus 17:11. You guys getting anything out of this? Good. See, I think people underestimate junior high school. You guys are a lot smarter than we make you guys out to be. You're smart. My 5-year-old son knows what atonement means. Come on. You guys are smart. I'm proud of you guys. Yes, 17:11, Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement, at one minute for your souls. For it's the blood that makes atonement for life. So why do I kill an innocent animal when I've sinned? Andrew, why in the heck are you bringing an animal up here and killing an animal when you've sinned? And here's the, this is foundational to understanding the gospel and why Jesus Christ had to die. In order for you to live, something else has to die. Our sin demands punishment. My sin deserves for me to die. I deserve to be separated from the Father for eternity. We deserve to be separated from the Father for eternity. But what does God do? Are you guys getting bored with this? Are you guys paying attention? What does God do? He sets up a system so that when an innocent animal dies in your place, you can be forgiven. The animal has to be punished for you. So that's the system God set up in the Old Testament, and it was pointing towards someone. Who was it pointing toward? Jesus. Thank you. A+. Now, in Hebrews chapter, we're doing a lot of flipping around here, but that's okay. In Hebrews, again, we're going back to Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 19. And you guys might have those verses, but if not, I'm just going to read it. Okay, it says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to what? To enter the holy places by the what? The blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he's opened for us through the curtain, which is what? His flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What is he saying? So we enter into the holy places. What is he talking about? The Old Testament, there was in Israel, in Jerusalem, there was a temple, right? There was a tabernacle. That's where people would come before the presence of God. If Jesus didn't die, we would still have to go to Jerusalem. We would still be killing animals. This meeting would be very bloody. We'd be very bloody. And we'd be so used to blood because that's the system by which we approach God. So that system, that temple in Jerusalem, and the writer of Hebrews, what he says, and we don't have time to get into this, is that it was actually just kind of like a symbol of the real thing. Have you guys ever made a Lego house or a model airplane? It's not the real thing, right? It's just a Lego model airplane. It's just a model house. There's an actual house. There's an actual plane, right? It's just a model. What will blow your mind is that there's a real temple. That the temple in Jerusalem was just a Lego model of. And so the Bible tells us that when Jesus died, guess what happened? When Jesus died, it says that he came before the real temple in heaven, came before his Father, and the Father accepted the blood of Jesus. So that we can actually, and here's the big cry of Hebrews, is that you would come before the throne of God, that you could actually come into the presence of your Father. He could actually be your Father. Jesus could actually be your brother through the blood of Jesus. So the basis for our fellowship, why do we come here? What unites us? We share something in common. The word fellowship literally means to share something in common. So you're a fisherman, right? Okay. Yeah. So you love to fish. Do you have a group of guys that you go fishing with? Okay. You share something in common with them, which makes you a community, right? What do you share in common with them? You like to fish. So they share that in common. If you go to a concert, you guys like a certain band, you show up. And most of you guys are not there for the first couple bands. You're just kind of watching them play. But then your band gets on stage, and all of you are like, yes! And now you guys are like feeling like you're brothers and sisters. You're a community. But it's based on the fact that you share something in common. You share a passion for that band, right? We share something in common. If we're in Christ Jesus, we share the Father. We share Jesus Christ. We share the Holy Spirit. If you go back to 1 John chapter 1. Cool. Wow. This is like an hour-long sermon, and I'm not going to be able to preach it all. You guys getting anything out of this? Okay. He says, that in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. So he's saying we're preaching the death and resurrection of Jesus. We're preaching Jesus so that you guys can have fellowship with us. Because we want you to enjoy someone. We want you to enjoy the Father. We want you to actually have him as your, not only your God, but your dad. And here's the problem, guys, is so many Christians settle for something less than a relationship with God. We make Christianity about sin management, where if I just don't sin, if I just do what's right, then I'm a good Christian. And you're not. That is what you're saved from. And God has called you into something so much more. He's called you guys into a relationship with himself. It will make you stand out. When you guys walk with Jesus and you actually experience him and you actually experience the Father as your dad instead of as a concept, people are going to be like, what's different about you? That's what they were saying about John. In the book of Acts, they were terrified. They were terrified. And yet the Holy Spirit actually came inside of them and took up residence in the inside of them because of the blood of Jesus. God living on the inside of them. And the Bible says that they preached the gospel to the people who had murdered Jesus. And they're like, you guys murdered my God. And you need to repent. Bold. I mean, can you imagine standing up in front of your whole school and saying, you guys need to repent and trust in Jesus. Confidence. And the Bible says that these people perceive, man, they must have been with Jesus. And so, if I could have my friend Tony come up real quick, I just want to encourage you guys, and he's going to encourage you with his testimony, that we get something so much more than just facts about a person. We get the person, okay? And this is my friend Tony from Starbucks. You guys might have seen him there. All right.
I don't work there anymore, so. Well, thank you. So Jordan's talking about the relationship with the Father. Big time, you know, that you can't have it without Jesus. And I make it quick, but my entire life, I never knew my dad. From day one, never knew who he was. For some of you, you may not have a dad, and you know what I'm talking about. You know, you don't have to raise your hand or anything, but for me to hear the idea of a father was a foreign concept. And then when I was 10, I lost my mom. So now I didn't have any parents. And that's an even crazier idea now. You know, I had family, but I didn't have my parents. And it wasn't until, 7 months ago, that I finally found my parents. But it was God. Because I came back to Jesus, and he showed me the way to God. He showed me the way to the Father. And it's kind of a hard idea to grasp. And it's kind of hard to explain, to be honest. It's something that you just feel. You'll eventually just feel it. You know, if you think about your love for your parent, you know, some of you might not admit it, but you love your parent. And my entire life, I didn't have that. I'm 22 now. I went 22 years without a parent, what I thought, until I finally accepted Jesus again. And he showed me the way to God. And it's kind of hard for me to explain that, but I have some scripture that can put into better words for me. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, it says, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Which Abba is Hebrew for roughly it translates to dada or daddy, you know, kind of like child talk. It says, Abba, Father, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Talking about being a slave. You know, those 22 years of my life that I didn't have a father, I felt like I was alone. You know, I was a slave to sin. And it's not until you go through Jesus that he shows you the way to God and you're no longer a slave. That's the song, I'm no longer a slave to fear. That's what that means. You come to God, you're not going to be a slave anymore. So, thanks, guys.
So, so funny, my notes. Like, I couldn't even find my notes. God's so good. Jesus. There's this part on AD. Any of you guys watch the TV series AD? You guys are like, what is that? It's so funny. I'm such a nerd, I guess. Anyways, that's okay. There's this part where Paul is talking to Peter, and Peter makes a statement. He's like thinking back about Jesus because Jesus has already died. He rose from the dead, and he went up to the Father. And Peter's looking at Saul. He's like, man, I miss him. Talking about Jesus. I miss Jesus. And Saul, Paul, he said, I don't. He said, I feel him. He's in here. The Father is as close to you as the blood of Jesus Christ. The Father is as close to you as the blood of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how much we've sinned. The Bible says that through Jesus, through his death, his resurrection, what do? We have atonement. We're made one with the Father. So now we have a relationship with God. So when you hear non-believers say, oh, there's many ways to God. First of all, what God are we talking about? Because the God of the scriptures, the way to him is through blood, ultimately through Jesus Christ. That's why in John it says, Jesus literally says this, guys. You can use this. Use this as a tool when you go to college and they tell you there's many paths to God. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But by me. Jesus is the door into fellowship with the Father. And I want to invite you guys to something so much more than just knowing about God and going to church. You get relationship with the Father. We are the ecclesia. For those of you in this room that have trusted in the person and work of Jesus Christ for your salvation, you are in the fellowship with God and with one another. That means there's people in this room. If you haven't trusted in Jesus, you're not a part of the fellowship. Fellowship is not coming here for pizza. So my desire, God's desire, is that you guys would know him intimately. All right? Let's pray. Would everybody stand up? If you guys are hungry for more, maybe you guys already experienced God, but you want more of him. Right now, could you just close your eyes and lift your hands toward the Lord? Just if you guys are hungry to know God more, I just want you to lift your hands. And I'm going to pray right now. Father, we thank you that we get to call you Father. Father, you should have turned your heart away from us. You should have banished us from your presence. That would have been so just, and your angels would have celebrated your justice and your righteousness in sending us away from your presence for eternity. But in your great love, you sent Jesus to bear our sin on his body, to pour out his blood so that we might gain entrance into fellowship with you. And we thank you, Father, that through the blood of Jesus, we have fellowship with you. And I pray right now against any kind of spirit of religion that would bind us in rules and regulations instead of an actual person called God living on the inside of us. God, I pray you'd set us free from the spirit of religion. God, I pray that you call us into deeper fellowship with you, into deeper fellowship with each other, because we share a dad. We share Father, which makes us brothers and sisters. I pray for those who don't know you. I pray they would trust in the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and gain entrance into a knowledge of God as their Father. We praise you right now, Father, that you've drawn near to us. And we ask in Jesus' name that you give us hearts to diligently seek you. We thank you that you're the rewarder of those who diligently seek you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So the reason I gave him an album is because one of the best ways to draw near to God is through worship. So find a good worship band and spend time with the Lord this week. That's my challenge for you, okay? Awesome. Thanks.